Okay?
Yes, sir.
Go on now. Now, how do I own live TV? Say I'm a PO'd pastor. I'm not prayed off. I'm not praised off. I haven't passed off. I'm PO'd. You think you can figure it out?
Yes, sir.
I'm PO'd in my congregation. Now, you'll hear me say in the service when it plays later that I'm the electric fence that you sheep keep running into. You never seem to learn. I'm not talking to the ones that were there. I'm talking to the ones that weren't there. You embarrassed me this morning. And some of you just flat out lied when you made the reservations you made. Now, I warned you that I won't warn you if you drive me to take the move that 3 weeks ago I almost took. When I was meeting with some officials of the city earlier in the week, I don't want anything new. I'm just meeting as friends. I don't have to be downtown. Don't even have to be in California. I mean, surely you've taken note of the fact that that's a mobile truck. And what I spend every week to keep that cathedral open. Well, I can hire a union crew to run the uplink. And all I need is my mobile uplink, mobile news truck, mobile studio, and a microphone. Don't even need a van now. Got enough tapes, I can run them in the truck. Well, this one-way love affair is going to come to a screeching halt, and I ain't going to warn you. I won't give you a hint. This congregation is the world's best at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Let you know that you've crossed the line 2-4, breached your covenants, broke faith, presumptuously assumed. Well, it'll be there when I get around to it. Let you know that you've gone too far. Well, there's a real crisis. I remember years ago when I announced the cancer test results. Man, you couldn't find a chair to sit in this building on Monday night, Sunday night, Monday night, or Tuesday night. Now, I drew a line in the sand 3 weeks ago, and you responded. And all I've been hammering on for the last several weeks is the faith of Jesus as a pattern. Keepers of covenant. A large part of my congregation this weekend breached covenant with me and with God. We just teach on television all week. We don't tell you to send in money or we'll go off the air. Indeed, I tell you, don't send any money unless I teach you. Then you send what you think the teaching's worth. Do we need you to send the money in order to exist? No. Well, I have an idea that I can sell that cathedral for a lot more than we paid for it. I don't know how many $100 million I can sell the Bibles for. I don't need to run the buses. Stay home. I'll go to a more comfortable place and teach. I don't care. I'm not going to say more tonight about it. But I better start getting some apologies from my people on these telephones. And don't you dare, when you show up on a Sunday morning or you go to the bus stop and there's no bus, for you 5 to 6 or 7 people to do nothing to try to fill that bus. Or you make the drive and the scissor gates are closed at the cathedral. Don't you dare say, why didn't he tell us? I don't know where you come off thinking you have a right to go there and expect me to be there. Well, he's always there. In 29 years, there's no pastor in this world has been as faithful to that pulpit as I am Sunday after Sunday. You don't have any more right to assume I'll be there and you willy-nilly make a reservation and then decide you want to do something else. I don't take kindly to setting the table for people that have made reservations and they don't show. I'm still thinking about it. I may go over the list of reservations and figure out who made reservations and didn't show. You can make reservations until Jesus comes. You'll never be let in again. If I decide to get that tough, I take it personal. You did despite to the blood of Christ. I'm not talking to strangers. Sorry, you can go, you know, go check in on some other things for 15, 20 minutes and then come back. I'm talking to my people. I haven't seen much change in the attendance as a result of paying $8,000 a day and, you know, on every night at 10 o'clock on Channel 56 when some people across the nation at 2 in the morning live for the hour that they can tune into a live program. You won't get warning. And there's something about human nature. You only know what you have after you lose it, if it's something nice. I'm called to deliver God's word in this day. Some of you have been called to help me get it done. With the least amount of requirement, you just put your butts there on Sunday, and when you make a reservation, treat it as a sacred commitment and a sacred trust. Now, I'm not in a very good mood. I want to play the service about 5 or 10 minutes after 9, which is just about exactly 2 hours from now, maybe a minute or two less. Willie Brown was our guest. And I preached a sermon outside the Roman series. But your calls tonight are going to determine whether I get further PO'd. Until I just leave this chair sitting here with the camera on it. And go figure out if I will be successful in seeking another church wife. I'm married to this church. I'm like God. I'm a bigamist. God was married to Judah and Israel. I'm married to this church, and I'm married to Melissa. Now, probably, Melissa and I would have a happier time if I got rid of that been around too long contrary bitch that keeps giving me these problems. I'm sick and tired of you presuming on me as your pastor. I'm sick and tired of this one-night stand atmosphere and this me-first tendency and then the hypocrisy of daring to call yourself a Christian. I don't interfere with your life. I don't care what you do. Willie is going to talk about a variety of things. I'm going to talk about some things that's not my style. But the one thing that I agree on, whatever your lifestyle, you make a commitment, you keep it. You keep it. To each his own. If I decide to join with somebody and make love, I'd rather be kissing their face than their backside, but that's your choice. How you decide to couple is your business. I don't care. I just happen to prefer the front side. If I feel like kissing, I don't have to. And on average, the odors are better on the front than the back. I mean, these are just pragmatic judgments that I make. And, this congregation starts to smell so bad in my nostrils, to use a very godly phrase, when you start breaking your commitments, that I'm wondering if I've got the wrong union with you. I'm going to quit coupling with this congregation. Through the television, that is. I don't like it. I don't judge you. I don't care what you do with your life. I deliver the word. I may care, but I don't interfere with it. I deliver the word. You do what you want with it. I tell you, God's looking for someone he can trust. And I feel like a parent that discovers that he's got a bunch of liars as kids that he can't trust. There's no commitment you make more sacred than those commitments you make to God. And making a reservation at the cathedral is a commitment to God. I don't like to sit here and read the reservation list and go to the cathedral and see that less than two-thirds of them kept their commitment. So see if you can I'm using the letter, folks, so don't add any extra letters to it. Un-pee me off. You understand?
Yes,
sir. Well, I don't care. I'm just surfing channel surfing, saw you. Well, go on by. I ain't talking to you. I don't look for ratings. People have figured out by now I'm here, and they can count on me. I'm here every Sunday night. I'm at the cathedral every Sunday morning. Say what you will about Gene Scott. When he tells you he'll do something, he does it.
Yes,
and I'm just too old and cranky to put up with a bunch of people that won't do what they tell me they'll do. So if you're not a member of this congregation, why don't you just applaud somebody that tells you the truth on television for a change? Doesn't happen very often. I'm angry. I'm P-O'd. I'll stay that way until I get some messages that tell me, maybe you won't do it again. So get on the telephone. What keeps me going are people like this, Studio City. Pastor, I have arthritis in my feet. And when I awoke, I thought I would never get there. And I took pain pills, and they didn't work. I thought the pain in my feet was nothing compared to being nailed to the cross. So I got dressed and went. And I left service in much better shape than I entered. That's faith. That's faith. But, you know, I could sympathize even if this person in pain hadn't made it. I'm not stupid. Don't treat me stupid. This is a holiday weekend. President's Day is coming up Monday. And you went on a fling. Well, I don't see messages saying, I said I'd be there, but I'm not. And I'm warning you ahead of time. And thus and so. Bad enough you did that, but to just not show. I think you need a dose of Scott not showing. I mean, I got a lot of preachers that are dying to come and fill my pulpit. Not so much because they love the Lord, but because of what I pay them as an honorarium. They'll be there in New York in a minute. I really think you need a dose of that. You really need a dose of it. Yeah, I won't come. Well, God knows how to deal with you. You forget, and I'm still talking to my congregation, I said in this first half hour, stranger, just pass on by. Unless you want to hear somebody be honest with their people for a change instead of these grinning imbeciles that are hirelings and call themselves pastors. They let the sheep boss them around. You don't see much difference between most preachers and whores. You pay them and they'll tell you how wonderful you are. They'll convince you your little pencil's a tank. Just pay them. This is supposed to be a trusting relationship. I don't like people making reservations and then deciding they can just flip it off. Don't like it. I can preach to an empty building as long as I made that choice. I can teach with one student on the other end of a log. I don't like the breach of trust that God has given you a chance to share equally in what I'm doing with this ministry and sending it around the world. I spent easily 50 hours this week preparing a message just in case. I didn't know what Willie would go 5 minutes. I didn't preach the message I prepared, but I prepared it. And you say, well, you do it next time? No. God enters in. He knows. I mean, I may go to the same verse of Scripture that I was going to go to had I preached the message. But it's start all over and put my heart and soul into it to be ready next Sunday with whatever God chooses to quicken my spirit and bring forth. It's going out to the world. More people listening to radio and television than sitting in front of me. But I've got a congregation that thinks they own me, and they continually do this to me, and we've had this war for 29 years, and I don't like it. I used to like Greg Boucher. He'd have a meeting with the president, and the president would show up 5 minutes late. He'd say, "You ain't making enough money to buy a watch?" He wouldn't even say it gently. Commitments are to be kept. That's what I teach. I didn't spell it out in as much detail today, but there'll be a lot of people in heaven that'll surprise you. God paid the price that he can take a person that's a Buddhist, exercising faith, and he can cover him. And all the failures from Adam until now, and Adam didn't do much failing, so I'm not sure you'll see him there. All the failures of Adam's seed from the beginning until now, it's what each of these translations say, from the creation until now, that have sinned, and we all sin, they're covered. God can take them because they can be trusted, because they're trustworthy. They show what Jesus, who set the pattern, showed. They show the faith of Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, not our faith, faith. I had Lord Cook ask me, we had dinner. He said to me, "Gene, I'm going to funerals. I have a lot of Jewish friends. And they haven't accepted Christ. What about them?" Simple answer. Abraham never accepted Christ. He wasn't a Jew. He produced the Jews, but he wasn't a Jew. David accepted Christ. He was a Jew. I mean, David didn't accept Christ. I'm going to repeat that. He didn't even know about Christ. Even when he uttered psalms under prophetic inspiration that were messianic psalms, there was no substance to it. He just saw through a glass darkly as God was using him of a messianic hope. And he didn't even know when he talked in psalms like, "My bones won't be crushed," that he was uttering phrases that would be fulfilled at the cross. You only have to read Psalm 51 to see his trust in God, in God's mercy. I said, "I'm not the judge, Lord. God paid the bill through his son. He can now take anybody he wants. And as far as I'm concerned, he'd rather have a man of faith that never heard of Jesus. That's why I'm not letting you base it on belief in Jesus. You can't reject him or disbelieve him. God wants faithers. Faithers with the guts to keep their word of promise to their own hurt, which is what God did." I said, "Lord, Abraham, David, a host of Old Testament prophets, the message is still the same. He gave it to Habakkuk, quoted three times in the New Testament. The righteous by faith shall live," and I spent weeks. "You're in luck. You're in luck. The wondrous message of Paul is being opened up. And if you think that all rewards in heaven are the same, you're crazy as a lunatic. The judgment seat of Christ is the last judgment, not the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ. Because rewards accrue. We're talking about the rewards of those whose faith has gotten them there. The rewards accrue until the last event of time. Had I more time this morning, I would have taken the second half of 77 apart. Control your eye and put God in front. And I'm giving my life to represent through his word the way God is to you. His ways are not man's ways. He ain't looking for perfection. He's going to provide that. It's all around him. The job was done through his son. He wants people he can trust. And this whole atmosphere in Southern California is a one-night stand. Yeah, let's have lunch together someday, the Beverly Hills jargon. You make a commitment, you keep it, and I don't want a congregation that I can't trust. So I'm not done with you. You better get on the telephone. What you were just in there on the board? Esma Be'eti Ihu Wahabana Sha'alo Ba'amine Ba'damu Ethiopic. It was just on the board. I was going to take that very verse and go further today as the Ethiopic unfolds the second half of Romans 25, 325, and the start of the 26th verse. The fact I just quoted it from memory should tell you I was ready. I haven't got some photographic memory. I work. I pull the grammar apart. I work because I'm here by Wednesday or Thursday. I have reservations of the congregation that's going to be pulling with me and holding my arms up as we take that message to the world, and then you don't show? How many of you women cook a dinner and put your heart in it, and people that have said they'd be there suddenly just decide to do something else? I saw one woman over here take her closed fist and smack her other hand. My kind of woman. I don't like it. We've taken up this whole hour, another 12 minutes, I'm going to finish it, and I'll start teaching in the next half hour. But this hour is dedicated to my congregation, and you that haven't better get on the telephone, and you that have better call back and say, I meant my apology. Now get on the phone. You know, here's someone who appreciates the teaching. I want to thank you for being on Channel 27 Sunday mornings in the Dallas area. And here from Whittier out here. I'm a new King's House. 59 years old. Never thought I'd see the day when I'd look forward to going to church. But you changed that. I've been to the cathedral for the last 6 weeks, and I'm looking forward to being there next Sunday, making reservations. Go on telephone. Now, we're about 200... fewer reservations at this time tonight than we were at this time last Sunday night. That's how serious it is. Leave you and me, the devil knows how to use you to aggravate me. You better cancel whatever you have in mind next Sunday. My congregants, I'm still talking to you, taking longer than I thought it would. And make your reservations. Now get on the telephone. Okay, you can stop calling now. I'll give you a chance later. About an hour from now, we'll take you into the cathedral for this morning service. Willie Brown, former mayor of San Francisco, the term limit laws limited him out. And he's between jobs now. He came down as my friend. And he was our guest. But I want to anticipate the message that I got on when he finished. I didn't finish the counting exercise with you this morning, so I'm going to finish the counting exercise with you tonight. And I had a message, and you'll know all about the message. You won't even have to listen. When Willie finishes, you can go Go watch something else. I said, if you want to live this Christian life, there are some simple keys. There's complicated stuff, and there's growth and knowledge and grace and the practice of faith. Now, there's some fixed points on the compass of the Christian way that you can always go to, and they will put you back on the track. It's a faith walk. And I didn't say anything about this morning, but I could have introduced what I said with Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All my life I heard preachers call that a definition of faith. It has nothing to do with defining faith. The word being translated from the Greek is self-defining. You know the meaning of the word. You don't have to define it. You know, I was looking for a way to say I was P-O'd, and I couldn't use the word. But had I used the word, everybody would know what I meant. And if you just do the first letter, it's self-defining. We don't have to analyze the clinical content and the chemical content, rather, of urine. Everybody learns early what that is. What you have to learn is when and where and other proper things. Faith is self-defining, if you read the Greek word. It's action based on belief sustained by confidence. And what Hebrews 11 is defining or explaining or declaring is the results of faith. Faith is the hypostasis, the substance. It substantiates. Once you are acting on belief sustained by confidence, you immediately begin substantiating. That action of faith substantiates things hoped for. You set yourself for the hope that is not yet fact. And I've often substituted the word faith concretionizes. You set out to build something, you build forms, and you pour a not-so-solid substance, wet concrete in the forms, and in time you can actually walk on it and leave behind you the concrete sidewalk. Faith concretionizes things hoped for. The evidence, no, it's the verb to pragmatize. Well, we get our verb to pragmatize from the Greek word. It's to make seen, give seen evidence of what was not seen when you started. And I hinted at G. Campbell Morgan's statement that the Bible begins in a garden but ends in a city. And when it talks about these faith walkers, it says in the 11th chapter before you get to the, or in the 10th chapter before you get to that 11th chapter of faith, some remarkable phrases. Or it's in the 11th chapter. After faith is the substance things hoped for. Talking about Abraham. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And as it goes through the long list of heroes of faith, concluding with the phrase, of whom the world was not worthy, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for hath prepared for them a city. We're involved in a world where Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and God looks for faithers who will trust him and quit dreaming of some garden you can lay around in, and you get things done for God. That's what Sunday's about at the cathedral. You've been chosen and given an honor to be a part of. In fact, those that held the ropes for Paul and led him over the wall in Damascus. We don't know their names. They'll stand right alongside Paul and receive rewards, because if they hadn't done their part, he couldn't have done his part. I've been driving that home to you for years. And faith substantiates and evidences hope and things not seen. But as you do the struggle, heading toward the hope and substantiating it, and believing and putting our eyes on that which is not seen because it's promised by God, you pragmatize if you keep going. I said there's a couple of clues I want to give you today. Psalm 77 gives one of them. I entitled the sermon, so you don't even need to listen to it. The title almost says it. Get your eyes under control. I mean, I never heard such a morose, complaining, miserable description of the condition of Asaph as those first 10 verses. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? This is my infirmity. And I said, count the personal pronouns. If you leave the italicized I in there, 23 references to himself. I 10 times, my 9 times, me 1 time, mine 2 times. And if you leave the italicized portion, he's got another I, which brings it to 23. And he mentions God 13 times in those 10 verses. 23 to 13. And all of a sudden, it's as though somebody shook him. And the translators, and I'm preaching the same sermon again I preached this morning, the translators put in an italicized, but I will remember it. He didn't say that. Just, whoa! And then he turns into a glorious, the years of the right hand of the Most High. He suddenly realizes that he's been in the hand of God, that when you give your life to God, he doesn't promise you won't have trouble. He just promises he'll be with you. His right hand will guide you. I pencil in the margin of my Bible, if I intended to preach a long sermon, the right hand of God is always a symbol peculiar to Hebrew thought and literature. Some great fact about the character and action of God. Deuteronomy 33, from his right hand, fiery law. Psalm 48, from the right hand, full of righteousness. Psalm 17, from the right hand, salvation. Psalm 20, from the right hand, strength. Psalm 118, from the right hand, his action. Song of Solomon, second chapter, right hand, emblem of caressing and tender love. Psalm 16, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He suddenly realizes, whatever his lot, he's in the right hand of God. This is the years of my infirmity, he said. Whoa! No, it isn't. I'm in God's right hand. Change the focus meter. And then I didn't do this morning, so I want you to do it now. Well, not now. I want to take note of it and then have you do it. Read the next 10 verses. In the next 10 verses, we have God 5 times, Lord 1 time, thy 11 times, thou 4 times, thee 2 times, thine 2 times. 25 times he mentions God. I 3 times. That's why I said, get your eyes under control. The minute, whoa, this is not the years of my infirmity, this is years of the right hand of the Most High. I can trust Him, I'm changing my focus to Him. That's the point I'm trying to make today, and that's what Sunday's about. You need to stop in your tracks and realize, you that are part of this congregation, getting to the cathedral on Sunday is as necessary as you eating food all week. You better make your reservations. We're about 200 short. Now get on the telephone. I don't know what program this person was listening to. Says, thank you, Doc, for the opportunity to listen to Willie Nelson this morning. It was Willie Brown. You know, even the same color. Yeah, I know. They were listening on shortwave. You can't tell color on shortwave. Go on the telephone. I sure like that tonight. You know, but a hound dog, you ain't no friend of mine. You don't keep your commitments. All right, no more calls. What is this? He tells us to call and then he tells us not to call. I'm buying this time. I'm still in Psalm 77. I'm going to preach about it when Willie's done. Willie is our guest in the service we play from this morning, Willie Brown. And that'll start about 37 or 8 minutes from now. But I'm just doing a little more with Psalm 77. I said the title of my message is Get Your Eyes Under Control. How many of you have in that 10th verse, and I ask in the service this morning, in the King James of Psalm 77, the words in italics, but I will remember. Added with the translator, because he says at the opening of the 11th verse, I will remember. But before he said that, which is why these translators shouldn't have put it in, something caused him to take charge of himself, a faith action, action based upon belief sustained by confidence. If God's word is true, whom the Lord calleth, he enableth. If God's word is true, he will not tempt you beyond that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, that very same one, make a way of escape. Now figure that out. The same God who knows the number of hair on your head, if God's word's true, that sees the sparrow fall, that tells you to look at the lilies and see God's care of them, if God's word is true, the calling of God without recall, if God's word is true, the steps of a good man, and that by definition in the context is the man who's committed his way to the Lord, or ordered to the Lord. If God's word is true, the promise is mine and yours. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God's word is true, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Obvious, we're going to have tribulation and distress and persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Doesn't separate us. If God's word is true, for whatever reason, he sometimes waits until all hope is gone. If anybody deserved favored treatment, Paul did. And yet he says in that storm in the sea, when all hope was gone, then the word of the Lord came. If God's word is true, he leads us. I can go on for an hour on the promises. I quoted another one this morning. If God's word is true, a bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. If God's word is true, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage if you want the real meaning of the word, for I've overcome the world. Something jolted this man who ends his long lament saying, and I said, this is my infirmity, my sicknesses. Haloti. And then all of a sudden, a total change. The years. This is my infirmity. The years of the right hand of the Most High. You know, it really bothers me that if I say that all the way, it means having to put up with you is the years of the right hand of the Most High. You know, he figured out who was ornery enough and tough enough to be your electric fence. But I will know I'm getting home if I hear some bleating from you. Not bleeding, bleating. I don't care if you bleed, I want some bleating into the phone. If God's word is true, he gave some pastoring teachers to equip you for the ministry. If God's word is true, all this and all your life when you give your life to him is in his hand and has been. Indeed, the years of your life that led you to the point where you could respond to the word and begin the journey of faith, God brought you to that point. It'd fill many books to write the course of the lives of those that just sit in the cathedral on Sunday morning, what brought them to that point. Like the man who called and said, I never thought I'd ever enjoy going to church. The years of my infirmity, that's putting the emphasis on the wrong person. You got to get your I and me and mine under control. You belong to the Lord or you're not his at all. The Israelites could never understand. Deuteronomy says, he drove them into the wilderness to prove what was in their heart. All they did was wail and bellyache and complain. He delivered them out of the type of sin. And then he drove them in the wilderness to squeeze out of them what was in their heart. And he sure did. And those miserable, I-centered people kept God on trial. Your life is in his right hand. There'll never be another you. He has tracked your life, and he knows what he's doing. And this shocking change from 23 times I, me, and mine versus 13 times God, Lord, thou, he, and his to suddenly a change, God 5 times, Lord 1 time, thy 11 times, thou 4 times, thee 2 times, thine 2 times. 25 mentions of God in the second 10 verses, and only three eyes. And even those eyes are properly positioned. I will remember the works of the Lord. Two, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, the tongue, one of the few good things James ever said, the tongue, it's like the bridle of the soul. And the tongue is the hardest member to control. Instead of talking about, I am hurting and me is woe, I will talk of thy doings. There are two pretty good uses of the I. You can find another one. I will remember thy wonders of old. Well, he hadn't done very much for me that I can remember. Well, do what he did. How about Jacob and Joseph? Man, the years of Joseph's infirmity. And then God in Psalm 105 says, God sent a man to Egypt. Well, he's got a strange metro system. I mean, what's the motto on the metro system here in town, Reggie? He says something about take the metro, and you were quoting it to my wife last night. You brain dead now? What's the motto? You see it on the ad about being safe or something going by metro. Come on. Now he's quoting it to my wife last night. Because she drives into the church and there's a man laying on the street that's been hit by a bus and he's covered up, and Reggie comes out and quotes this saying about take the bus and be safe or something like that. Are you totally brain dead? Go up and ask her what you said.
Go all the way with
MTA. But he said something different than that. But it's close to that. But that helps me. Go all the way with MTA. Well, he's dead on the sidewalk or the street. I mean, they had him covered up. You only cover the whole body when they're dead. Then an ambulance comes, they uncovered him and carried him in the ambulance. So we know whether he's dead or alive, and I'm not being uncaring about it. But he came off. Well, no wonder he doesn't want to remember what he said. Because Melissa went in real concerned. This guy's laying in the street. Right for the corner of Olympic and Hill or something, and a bus hit him. Or it looked like a bus had hit him. Something hit him. Or he collapsed in front of the bus before the bus hit him, one or the other. We'll get the report in a minute. Reggie comes off the wall with something. Well, Joseph could wish God would have sent him to Egypt on MTA. His bus was betrayed by brethren, sold into slavery, lied on with Potiphar's wife, put in prison, being kind to other prisoners, and they forget him. The only glimmer of his feelings was, I did nothing wrong, and I've been forgotten here. What'd you say, Reggie?
What a way to go.
What a way to go. Well, you can play the piano, but philosopher, you ain't. What a way to go. That fits Joseph real well. What a way to go. What if Joseph had written the first 10 verses of this? Joseph ended up pretty good. God knew what he was doing. What about Jacob? It took all those years. God had to send him to a relative that could outlie him, out-cheat him. I mean, that's the best experience you can give a cheater, is put him with a better cheater. Man, he could wrestle, I'll say that for him. The angel couldn't whip him until he crippled him. But Jacob turned out pretty good. Jacob and Joseph... How about Moses and Aaron and those people? Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Three I's, 25 references to God. And the three I's are, I've turned my attention to God instead of my hardship and my problems and my being abandoned and God hiding himself from me. And the rest of the message can be said in a sentence. Put your butt in the right place. The majority report of the spies that went over at Kadesh Barnea. Well, Canaan is everything God said it was, but there are walled cities and giants. That's the majority report. Canaan, the land of faith, is everything in terms of promise and potential, hope. Faith would substantiate that hope. Well, the hope is there. What God said is true. It's a land of milk and honey. Canaan's everything God said it was. But there are walled cities and there are giants. God's word of promise, all those that I just quoted, it's true. But there are walled cities and giants. Just give me those promises without any action on my part to substantiate them. No action of faith to evidence them in my life. The minority report, Caleb and Joshua. Canaan's everything God said it was. And there are walled cities and giants. But our God is able to give us the land. These every day are the years of the right hand of my God, and he's able to see us through. Just slap your eye along the side of the head and tell him to shut up, and I will talk. I will talk of thy doings. There's no problem you face that matches what God has proven he can take his men and women of faith through. Just get your eye under control, put your butt in the right place. You and God will get it done. That was the message this morning. Now get on the telephone. You can keep calling and keep answering the phone. I just picked up messages, a stack of messages from today's program. It didn't play this morning's service because it came on at 7 o'clock or 7:30 or 8 o'clock this morning. But it was a message that I preached, I think, on Psalms. Arlington, Texas. This program is so good, I'd like a copy of the pulpit that's offered. I've never watched before. I missed church, and something told me to turn on the TV. I enjoyed your message so much. Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Mary, and I give the full name. I want to get the pulpit. I'm praying for him, and I'll have my family pray for him. We have two preachers in the family. God leads me, and I turned on this channel for a reason. His faith is so real and great. It's where I testified to the healing of cancer. If I had cancer, wouldn't let them cut it out of me either. I'd go by faith. I'm so sick of most preachers. His faith is so real. Balk Springs, Texas. I really like this program. I really enjoy it. Listening to him is amazing. It makes me look at the Bible in a different way. I hope he stays on for a very long, long, long time. First time seeing him and calling, I'd like a copy of the pulpit. Any prayer requests that I will keep and make amazing out of this service where I testified to the healing of cancer. They So many prayer requests come in. Dallas, Texas. This is, and he gives me his name, calling from Dallas. I've been a science teacher for 45 years. I've told my students if they don't understand the language of science, if they can't speak the language of science, they'll never understand science. Oftentimes, the students that have English as a second language do better than the English-speaking students. My point being that Dr. Scott works so hard to get people to understand the languages of the Word. I see its importance, and I appreciate it. I've been a fan of Dr. Scott for 20 years. That's nice. In Louisville, Texas, I want to comment on how straight he is on the Word. All the other teachers are liars. This man is highly esteemed, in my opinion. Nice calls. Just like that. This is Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Nashville, again and again. Every week, we're reaching people that don't have the privilege you have. 24-hour access, ability to go to the live service and hold my hands up and be a part of life going out to the world. That's why I want you to make your reservation. Get on telephone. Well, here's a sample from Nashville. We were on there this morning. Nashville, Tennessee. I've just watched the program, and I'm so excited to see Dr. Scott again. I haven't seen him for 15 years. I'm so happy to see Dr. Scott again. I called my father, who is 72, to tell him that Dr. Scott is on. I'll be watching every week. Dr. Scott is a great teacher. Thank you for being here. Clarksville, Tennessee. This is an excellent program. I've been watching Dr. Scott for many years, ever since I was a football player. He just gets better and better and better. In Dixon, Tennessee, I want you to know how much I enjoy your service every Sunday morning. I got to the point of not knowing what to do when going through a hard time. And you helped me see that I wasn't asking the right way to get God's help. I hope and pray you stay on here. I'm grateful to you. I hope you stay strong and continue to stay on here. Dixon, Tennessee. I've just watched the program for the first time, and it's great. I want to hear more. I'll be watching every Sunday, and I'll be going to the website to get more teaching. Thank Dr. Scott for the message. Levon, Tennessee. I'm enjoying this teaching. Tell him I called to thank him for it. I really appreciate Dr. Scott and his teaching. He's a true blessing. I'm a first-time watcher in Nashville, and I really enjoyed the program. Thank you so much. And again, all over Tennessee. Been watching the program about a month. Go on telephone. Go calling. I'm a Methodist. I don't go to church much, but Dr. Scott has something going on. I learned a lot. Oakland. That was a great sermon, Doc. I really like Doc. My lawyer recommended him to me. Concord, California. The message this morning was so helpful to me. My husband passed away on Wednesday, and my faith is strong. I'm okay, and it's only because of your teaching. And thank you, Dr. Scott. Downey, thank you for the powerful message today. I'm one of the kids you busted at Melodyland at opening day in the 70s. I did that in Springfield, as you know, to our current Attorney General, John Ashcroft. I haven't changed over the years. I expect respect in God's house. Didn't hurt this kid. He said, I'm glad you're my pastor now. Green Castles, Pennsylvania. This is out of Washington, D.C. I've never heard anything like that. I'm 88 and grew up in the Catholic Church and have never heard anything so great. I just woke up earlier today. Turn him on. I look forward to seeing him next week. I'd like to be on the mailing list if you have one. Charleston, West Virginia. I'm enjoying watching Dr. Scott. He's a great teacher, and boy, can that girl sing. I love this show. I watch every Sunday. Washington, D.C., I'm calling to tell Dr. Scott that his teaching is a blessing to me, and he makes it so clear and understandable. Clinton, Maryland. I'm still watching every Sunday. Thank you for this program. I never used to get up this early in the morning, but I do now. It's just wonderful. He makes the Bible understandable. In Daltsville, Maryland, Channel 5 out of Washington, D.C., I watched this program a few times, and then I checked out his website and saw all the Bibles he has, and now I understand where he's coming from. I hope he stays on the air. We need people like him to teach us. Washington, D.C., I love the way he breaks it down for me to understand. I just started to study the Bible. Thank you, sir. I'm a first-time caller, and I'll continue to listen. Landover, Maryland. Dr. Scott, you are a marvel. God bless you. Melissa is such a blessing. She starts the service and is a blessing to me. Charleston, West Virginia. My name gives it to me. I'm watching. I like your teaching, and I like Melissa. She's a sweet thing. I sure do like her. So do I. Washington, D.C. I watched 4 or 5 times, first time calling. I thank you for your teaching. It's very educational and inspirational. In Washington, D.C., I'm calling to let Pastor know how much I'm enjoying the messages, all the breaking down of the words, and the explanation that brought Jesus to me in a much more clear light. Thank you, and please stay on the air. Is it worth it, folks?